Hello and welcome to this MindWeb.com Newsmaker podcast. My name is Jeff Candy, and joining me here at the PDAC Conference 2014 is Mickey Philp, the mercenary geologist. Mickey, we spoke here last year. It's about 5,000 or 6,000 people fewer here this year than last year, from what I've heard. It does feel a little quieter, but a little bit more optimistic.
I would agree with that. And quieter is better, I think. Last year it was just so busy here, it was hard to even maneuver around the floor. But yeah, that's to be expected. The business is now into its third year of a bear market. Although we've seen the venture exchange go up about 15% since its a test of its late June low of about 880, test that once again in mid-December with tax loss selling. But we've seen this rally since then, and it's led to a better mood at this conference.
And I think definitely the part of the shift at least can be attributed to a little bit more M&A action beginning to take place. We saw the mood lift at least noticeably when Goldcorp made the bid for a Cisco. That's still obviously interesting, if nothing else. But clearly there does seem to be some sort of smidgen of hope coming back into the sector.
Well, there has, your point's well taken there. The equities are up, or the index is up, I should say. That's not very broad brush. That's probably the best companies are the creams rising to the top. But we have seen a big attempt at a takeover with Goldcorp and Osisko, but that's also filtered down. We saw Gold take out Animus in Mexico, and that deal was consummated yesterday. We've seen some other hostile takeovers being attempted, smaller into the mid-tier juniors or the even, for lack of a better word, the low-tier explorers. So we've seen this consolidation of the business, which is a logical thing to happen in a bear market, but that is good for a market.
Do you think, and I suppose there are two conflicting forces happening at the moment in the M&A space, where a lot of these juniors are reluctant sellers, if sellers at all, because their valuations are so low. Do you think there's going to be some sort of compelled selling by companies that are under the cosh from a cash point of view?
Well, yes, there certainly will be. You know, and there's a few cash-rich juniors that have. I know of one right now that's fighting off a very hostile takeover, and they would, of course, expect a white knight to come in with a better offer. We've seen some merger activity in uranium space too, significant. In uranium space over the last year. So this unitization, rationalization, consolidation is, I think, overall good for the market. We have part of the problem with a venture exchange in this latest boom is we just have too many companies. The market cannot support 1,650 juniors in the natural resource sector. We do not have that many good projects. Geological projects in the world to support that many companies. So a lot of those companies need to go away, but the exchange policies have been loosened to allow them to hang around. The exchange, I think, has a bit of a conflict of interest as a public company. It needs to generate profits. It does that through compliance fees and listing fees, reports, etc., and so they've lowered financing requirements a couple of times in the last year, and in order to keep some companies around, and really those companies need to go bankrupt and become shells and become dormant. That's not really happening.
It's interesting because we spoke about this last year, in that there were a lot of companies that were expected to capitulate a lot sooner than perhaps they have, and the reasoning you've just given makes sense. But do you think there has been, and this does seem to be the trend overall over the last few years, is that everything has taken a little longer than expected?
Yes, and that seems to be all the way from the regulatory environment keeps increasing. You know, I get the news releases from the various Canadian regulatory agencies, the securities commissions, and there's more and more regulations every year, and there's more and more fees put on to become a lister. And so the bureaucracy of that is increasing. Not only that, but the permitting and lead times to projects being developed into mines or even advancing as projects is increasing. So the slowdown and the bureaucracy that has been added in our business, both in the regulatory environment and the regulations and resource nationalism of countries is of great concern, because it takes longer and longer to build a mine. In a world, you know, we're adding something on the order of 80 million people to the planet every year that demand resources. That's 220,000 people per day. Additional mouths to feed, additional people that want electricity. 25% of the world still can't turn on light. They go to bed in the dark and get up when it gets light. And that's changing. But a real concern is the lead times. You can't transmit electricity without copper. So these long lead times are really of concern.
It was interesting. I was listening to a presentation by Richard Schotter from Minex yesterday, talking about this very thing and the fact that we have seen a lengthening of the lead time between discovery and development, and a lot of that has to do with regulation, as you say. But another theme that's come through this conference so far is that corporate social responsibility, the needs of other stakeholders other than just your shareholders, is increasingly becoming non-negotiable. Do you think that juniors are sufficiently aware of this?
Well, I think they are being made aware of it by so many countries that 10 years ago or even 5 years ago were targets for exploration and mine development are off limits now for geopolitical considerations. This creeping resource nationalism that you see, especially in emerging market countries, the lack of security of mineral tenure, what it's really doing is it's forcing the better companies back into safe jurisdictions, especially in the United States. I mean, we have very long lead times for permitting in the United States, but one thing we do have in the United States is security of mineral tenure and rule of law. And so we will see companies pulling back and going to safe jurisdictions, and we see that happening now, where the rule of law and the security of mineral tenure are paramount.
Which is interesting, given that a lot of the newer resource discoveries tend to be made not in these jurisdictions.
Well, and that's because they're mature jurisdictions. There are no more outcropping porphyry copper ore bodies in the United States, but we're finding them deeper. And with the drill and with geophysics and good geological sleuthing and building of cross sections, and we've seen that in Arizona with some big discoveries buried quite deeply. So it is tougher, but ultimately you need to go where you can develop a mineral deposit and make money. And if the perception is in some far-off country in an emerging market, really what we would call the third world, is if you don't think you can develop it, then there's not much reason to spend shareholder money exploring in those countries.
Do you think shareholders need to take a slightly longer-term look than, or longer-term view than they have over the last few years?
I missed your question.
Do you think shareholders need to start taking a longer-term view of returns? Because given the state of all the part of the cycle in which we're in, chances are it's going to take a little longer before you start seeing returns again.
Well, yes, and this boom has really focused on very short-term goals and lead times for success of a company, and shareholders, I think, have been disappointed in a lot of regards on that. Now, that's not saying you can't get in and get out quick, but that becomes a matter of timing on some companies. And certainly, you know, I like to to bemoan the fact that a lot of these companies are just out there mining the stock market, is a phrase I coined a few years ago, mining the stock market. But when you really think about it, as speculators, we're all trying to mine the stock market. Ultimately, what I separate my portfolio into segments. You know, I have my trades, and then I have my long-term holdings. And the long-term holdings, I'm much more patient, and those are the ones I feel most confident can build mines. Some of my other trades are just I see an opportunity to speculate, and I'll play those speculations.
Mickey, just to close off with, what sectors of the market or what minerals are you focusing on at the moment? Where do you see the most potential?
I don't think anything's really changed since the last time we talked, saw each other and talked a year ago, and that's my top minerals would be, I may have flipped them around, copper and uranium. Now I would say uranium first, then copper. I'm always looking for good gold prospects. Tungsten is certainly the specialty metal of the year, and I have my tungsten company. So those are the metals that I am most interested in at this time.
Mickey Philp is the mercenary geologist, and that's it for this MindWeb.com Newsmaker podcast. From me, Jeff Candy, thanks for listening, and please join us again.